So now we've set the stage with a range of examples, and I think you'll see, and we'll kind of reference back to them throughout the discussion, some of the themes. So that's kind of the level set there. So now the first question: capital aggregation. Why do it? Why would organizations consider capital aggregation as a method for doing good?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most obvious and tangible thing is that you can bring more funding to a problem. And for us at Walden Family Foundation, resources aren't necessarily the issue. It is more for us about thinking about the sustainability of an initiative and sustainability of support on a problem. So collaboration for us is really about bringing additional people that are interested in tackling the same issues that we want to tackle, and making sure that we are not setting ourselves up to be committed in perpetuity to something. So we like collaboration, and we like others to sort of come along with us. The other thing is to leverage expertise. So in the Benefit Chicago example, MacArthur has an impact investment team that is incredible, and that was not something available to the Chicago Community Trust, who really wanted to be responsive to their donors and their donors' interest in impact investing. So I think bringing together partners with specific expertise always is beneficial. And then I think also shared networks. MacArthur did not have the donor network that the Chicago Community Trust had, and neither the Chicago Community Trust or MacArthur had the network that Calvert had through the sale of its securities. And I also think that there's just reputation. So partnering with Ford or partnering with Gates or partnering with MacArthur, I think that name will bring attention to a problem and an initiative, and that's really also a consideration in thinking about collaboration.
And I think one thing that's also interesting, just in this moment of Me Too, social media and everything else, there is the reputational issue, which can be really good, but it also underscores the importance of the relationship among the funders and knowing who you're partnering with, because that reputation benefit could quickly turn into a reputation problem.
That's a good point.
Right? So, counterpoint. So, and even I think that the other reputational aspect is that, even if it's not, one of the funders does something crazy horrible and it kind of taints the whole thing, it's that you're going out and you're doing something with other people, and there's a reputational aspects of how the aggregation does, and I think some of the major themes here, you've got the chapter 42 and all the 501c3 rules, but really I think a lot of it comes down to this relationship and to trust and to knowing who you're partnering with and being very clear about about what the aggregation is going to look like and what it's going to do, and being comfortable with the fact that that you're not going to necessarily be able to control everything, but you're probably going to be seen, at least in some ways, as responsible for everything, which I think is why capital aggregation is such a buzzword. But it happens frequently, but doesn't always pan out. One of the aspects here is that there are a lot of people in this space, a lot of organizations in this space, who think that capital aggregation, separate and apart from the issues it's focused on, is a tool that should be explored and exploited more. And so one of the other reasons to do capital aggregation, I think, and one of the things I think that certainly was part of the Edna McConnell Clark Foundation thinking on BMP is that their model, this model of capital aggregation in a variety of different forms has a chance to really address huge problems, and that the more people do it and the more that they're exposed to it, the more they're going to be comfortable doing it on their own. So it's really kind of broadening the network of people who do capital aggregation. So I think that that's kind of one of the other reasons that some people get into this space. a couple of other motivators for doing capital aggregation, economies of scale. You know, we've kind of talked about this, and you've seen through the MacArthur example, like who has the resources to do which part of this work, and are you able to actually achieve something bigger than you would be able to on your own? You know, I think that for the MacArthur Foundation to bring on the type of expertise that the Calvert Foundation, and the full name now is escaping me, that Calvert had, and the donor base that the community trust had would be, you know, maybe impossible, certainly very resource intensive. So figuring out who can do what best with what they've already got is certainly a reason to do it. I think one of the other big motivators, and this is certainly something that came through with BMP, is to reduce the burden on grantees. This is a theme throughout, you know, philanthropy and concepts of good grant making. But you know, in addition to kind of streamlining and giving unrestricted funding and all the other things you can do to make life easier for a grantee who's trying to achieve their mission and comply with your grant agreement, instead of having the 10 to 12 separate foundation funders with separate grant agreements that are probably all reasonable but have a little different quirks again, you've got a single set of grant requirements, a single set of reporting, metrics, performance, strategy, and I think that can actually really be, in the long run easier for the grantees. At least that's certainly part of the thinking about why to do this type of coordinated grant making. I do think also that when you've got $1 billion in commitments for a project and all these funders standing behind it, there's got to be some kind of intangible comfort given to your grantees that, that the money is there, the strategy is there, and people are at the table. I think that could also be a reason to consider this option.